Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Horror Magic. Today, we are here with Devi Maisha. I'm going to let her pronounce it properly in case I unfortunately pronounced it wrong. But we are a show that is here every Friday to bring awareness to sexuality, to break down the stigma around sexuality, hence giving us a more healthy society to live in. And I am really excited about our guest. She's a mom, a sacred sexual coach who specializes in showing men and women how to take their sex lives higher, release their trauma, and transform their lives into abundance and ecstasy. She combines her knowledge and study in the areas of psychology and tantra with her training as an energy worker to facilitate inner healing, better sex for her clients. Maisha is currently a student of the Institute of Authentic Tantra, where she will go through a year-long Tibetan Buddhist Tantra training program and become a certified sexologist through the American College of Sexology. She can be found on social media at Sensual Energy Alchemy and also at her website, www.sensualenergyalchemy.com. How are you doing today? And did I pronounce your name right?
You did, Maisha. It's perfect. Yes, thank you.
Wonderful. How are you doing? I'm so glad to have you.
I am so glad to be here. Honestly, I'm still recovering from the whole Mary Magdalene thing, but I feel amazing. I feel amazing.
Wonderful. I'll let everyone in on it. My name is Jenny McDaniel. I'm going to be your hostess. And if any of you know me, you know that I'm a professional psychic and I do channeling. And when I started the Horror Magic Facebook page, which led to the Horror Magic podcast, which you're listening to, I was inspired by Mary Magdalene. And she is always up front and center in a lot of my healings that I do and a lot of the channelings that I do. And before the show, I was prompted because she came in so strong to tell Maisha that indeed we have Mary Magdalene guiding us today. And it hit her hard and it hit me hard. And they showed a couple parallel lives where not only do I know Maisha, but I also know Mary Magdalene, and we all know each other from a different timeline that looks a lot like the timeline of what we call Jesus, and we were doing the good work then too. So maybe that's why it's so hitting so cellular, because it's very similar timeline. That was 2,000 years ago. Jesus was breaking away some norms. He was breaking down some stigmas. He was bringing a lot of awareness. You can always tell when someone brings a lot of awareness because they kill you quite often.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling it too. And I'm just so happy to be here with you and all of the listeners and Mary Magdalene. So where do you think we should start today? I want you to tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what you're getting into. I know we did the intro, but tell us a little bit more.
Oh my gosh. So yes, I am a sensual energy alchemist. And people ask me what that is. They ask me what it means. And for me, being a sensual energy alchemist is to be someone who uses their five senses, their sensual energy to shift and change the world around them, to change themselves internally, and then to outwardly shift the world around them. So it's not just about sex, though that is beautiful and sex can be and is sensual, but it's really also just living this orgasmic life through any and all of the senses that you have, and learning to love and see this life and this third rock from the sun that we're on as a playground. So that's what I really try and focus on. It's what I really, want people to understand, that they are not here to do some type of strange suffering, that this is all alchemy. We're all here to shift and grow and use the experiences that we have to create new ones.
I love that. Often people will say, Jenny, how did you become such a good energy worker? I'm like, I breathe. I exist. It's working energy is waking up in the morning and deciding to incarnate or deciding not to incarnate. You're moving energy all the time. The intention behind it is pretty important, but we're all just doing it. And I love how you call it a playground. I do a lot of past life readings and I tell people, I'm like, you came here to experience. Yes, there's lots to learn and lots to be a part of, but it's a lot of free will and choices, and it is a playground. I get a lot of new healers say, Jenny, which direction should I go? And I go, it's more of all of them as opposed to one. Mm-hmm. As a healer, We often say, okay, what is the one thing that I can get really good at and just go into and max it out? We usually, old souls, we have several things we're interested in. So it's nice to kind of just tone it down a little, pick a couple things, and then move forward in that, because there's no wrong way to learn. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. And even what we call mistakes, mm-hmm. you know, those there are so many lessons in there. We get so bogged down with, I didn't do this right, or had I done this differently, mm-hmm. but we have no idea. Had we done that differently, we think we know where we would have gone, but we really don't. And the direction that we're in, even though it seems like a mistake, could be the greatest thing that happened to you. It's so interesting that you mentioned that, because I've been doing videos about the 40-day prosperity plan. It's based on the abundance book. And I take snippets of the videos and I post them on Instagram. And this one particular snippet, I was speaking about my ex-husband who passed away this past spring from complications due to COVID. And I was saying how sensual energy alchemy actually exists because of him, because of what we went through in our marriage. And, you know, there were all these labels about what it was and how toxic it was. But at the end of the day, he and I forgave each other. We you know, he left this room with he and I as friends. And, you know, we were able to forgive each other and see where we went wrong. He still had way more to acknowledge and to understand. And I know why he had to leave. And he visits me so often mm-hmm. in my dreams, and we have great conversations. But it was that, instead of looking at that marriage as this mistake, this wrong turn that I made, this marriage not only gave me 4 children that I birthed and a gift by raising his daughter from his previous marriage, but it also gave me the gift of being the woman I am, which all things lead to this moment right now. So it was never a mistake at all. It was just part of my unfolding. I just didn't know it at the time.
In the moment, it feels heavy and a lot of pressure and wrong because it's difficult. But when you pan back and when you move into the future, when you progress into the future, it becomes arsenal in things that you can teach other people how to get through. You get through it, and then you have all this wonderful information you can hand out to people. And I don't know many healers. Actually, I don't know any who haven't suffered. We all suffer in some way, and we end up specializing in it in some ways sometimes. But yes, going through, I always say the best teachers keep learning, and the best healers keep healing. I mean, you just have to keep going that way. It keeps us open and objective. And the opposite would be some kind of closed down energy. Like you might think of a professor in a college teaching calculus might not have a lot of passion in his work, or might be stuffy. We want to avoid that if you're, if you're an old soul like us, you're definitely going to want to lean into the more open-ended learnings and teachings, usually, so to speak.
Yes, no, I absolutely agree. And it's interesting to notice people. It's funny, I was just having this conversation with my children before I got on here. And they were, you know, my daughter in particular was talking about spirituality. And, you know, she's like, I've never found myself someplace, you know, how other people find a religion. And I was like, well, because you never had to find it. It was always there for you, right? It's different when you don't have any understanding of it at all, or you're just coming into something. I was like, but you kind of grew up with it always around you, so it's a little bit different. And I think it could remember. Well, you know what? But that's really part of the human journey, isn't it? Though, I mean, I wish
to remember.
I wanted to remember. Yeah, you know, that's the whole thing. It's like, here, go here and remember. Although there are times that I joke with one of my friends that I was like, when I'm done here, there's a part of me that wants to find my spirit team. And it's like, who did that? Who did it? And why? Could I have gone without that experience? Do you think? You know, I definitely have some choice words for some folks on the other realm, but it really is all part of the experience.
And it's so fun. And when I read people's parallel lives, I often see patterns, karmic patterns, which is usually why they're having the session. They're saying, I'm having difficulty with anxiety or attachment or fear, or could be anything. And I often will see these, I guess we'll call them patterns in parallel lives. And so incredible, and it's an incredible time to be objective, don't you think? With all this change and shift, it's an incredible time to pan out and see where the patterns are. Go ahead. You don't have to fix them overnight. I think that's what people get worried about. They take a look at a problem. They're like, that's going to take me a while. And I'm like, don't become overwhelmed. We just take it one layer at a time. And that's the diligence of it all, is to keep coming back at it. But it's layered, and there's no better time, and Mary Magdalene's agreeing, there's no better time to form structure and to move energy than in chaos. And if people haven't noticed, it's chaos out there. And this is a powerful time for it. It may seem unstable, but it's always been unstable. It was just an illusion that there was some functionality, and there was a little bit, but COVID real quick blew on that and just busted it apart. So it couldn't have been that strong. And now the reality is coming forward, and it's an excellent time to take drinks of this and to not become overwhelmed, and to know there's people like myself and Maisha out there to hold space for you, to connect with you, and to help you sort out these chaotic things. Maisha, what are you specializing in these days? What are the sessions you're doing mostly? Surely there's several types and kinds, but what do you find yourself doing most?
Yeah, so what's been calling me lately is getting back to my roots a little bit when it comes to spirituality and health and fitness, and integrating that more into the work that I do when it comes to sacred sexuality. And what I feel like I am specializing in, if there's anything, is really guiding and supporting the men and women that I work with and just ripping back like everything that's been covering them, so they can feel the freedom of their orgasmic soul. I want the blankets and the layers of what family said and religion and society and all of these things, and not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, right? But really understanding who you are underneath the humanness of you. And discovering that purpose and that point of view, and beginning to live from that, so that your time here is so well spent and so filled with bliss and joy. Obviously, not that there are no sad moments. You know, this isn't a bypass, but when you understand that, those moments come across differently than they do when you're stuck in your humanness. So that's really where I am right now, and having a greater understanding of the connection between that and our bodies and our health, and digging deeper into our magic, you know, into our ability to do what you do and what I do. And some people see it as, oh, you guys can do that because, you know, you're special. And it's like, no, we can all do that. Like, we're all empaths. It's just, are you acknowledging it, or are you trying to pretend like you're not? So that's really, I guess if I had a mission, that's really what it is, to kind of like allow people to see the truth of who they are and to live from that.
It's brilliant. Would you say you work more with couples or individuals, or just a combination of both?
I work mostly with couples, and it's usually with women. The brave men who trickle in sometimes to work with me. you know, when they do, it's like, it's amazing. And I miss doing body work. So I would love to get back into that once the world has kind of tilted itself a little bit more to the center. But I would love to do that more. I have worked with couples in the past, but the majority of the people that I work with are women, whether they're in relationships or not. It's usually just them solo. I would love for that to shift.
It tends to be that in my practice. I am open for a shift to bring in more masculine energy in couples. Absolutely. I like to work with couples, and I like to work with women who are dating, because I like to kind of help them view it a bit more objectively. It's easy to get wrapped up in the emotion of meeting people and the excitement and the hope. And then when it doesn't work out, which, let's admit it, a large majority of relationships don't work out. Hell, divorce rate's 50%. And how many of those people are happy, let alone all the relationships it took to get to those marriages that sometimes didn't work out. So when we pan, I don't like to be negative, or I'm quite optimistic, but I like to be practical with my clients, because I see time and time again, the women becoming way emotionally attached way early on, and the guy hasn't even really
begin to wrap their head around if this is a permanent thing, or, you know, started to feel comfortable. So I saw a pattern. In fact, it was one I had as well early on. And I help women kind of pan back and be objective and not get so expectant that it will work out. And when it doesn't, they then run and hide and leave dating for 5 years sometimes, you know? So, and that's fine too. That's okay. But if you want to accomplish something, getting back up on that horse is usually the way to do it. So, and then I also work with couples, and what I found is that sometimes the one or both of the couples will just expect there not to be a problem. They think if the right relationship is there, or if it's a good relationship or one that's going to last, there isn't any problems. And if you go at a relationship thinking if there's a problem, it's bad, it's wrong, then that is going to just set the stage for unhealth and, well, not very optimistic. But if we start wrapping our heads around, it's not if, it's when problems arise. And the functionality and the techniques and the tactics that we use, strategy that we use, is everything to get past it. Now, whether people have the emotional IQ to do that or not is another thing, but that can be gained and learned. It's a wonderful process. I've done it myself.
It is indeed. And I can relate to much of what you're speaking of. I'm still in the midst of listening to a book called Codependent No More. And I've known about this book, oh my gosh, for over a decade. And I knew I needed to read it. And I knew that's what my marriage was. And I knew that was part of my pattern. But for some reason, I never read the book. And I'm grateful to my ego, because it's probably like you cannot digest this right now.
Right.
But I'm listening to it now, and I'm like, oh, somebody wrote a whole book about me. Wow.
Didn't even give me any royalties. Use my story.
Not at all. I'm listening to the little, you know, the vignettes, and I'm just like, oh, this is my whole life. That's wow. But it's also my whole life, and this is what I was saying about people living from their orgasmic self, and I find that what you're doing as well, Jenny, and helping these women, you know, work through their patterns with dating, is that people don't want to be their genuine selves because they're so hooked on the idea of catching this person. They want Jerry Maguire, right? Mm-hmm. They want like the movie that happens. And so a lot of people are pretending in some ways to be someone they're not. And I found that in my case, when I looked at, you know, the major relationships in my life where I was codependent, I was also trying to be monogamous. And I'm polyamorous. And I find that when I look at the relationships in which I've allowed myself to be who I am and be polyamorous, I'm not codependent. And it's not because I don't care, I'm not attached. But there's something that's different because it feels more authentic to me versus I'm trying so hard in monogamy. It has to be this way, and I've got to get it right. So I found, at least in my case, that was one of the reasons why I realized it's really important for people to understand who they are, what they want, and what they're really looking for, as opposed to trying to fit a narrative or a story or check off boxes. Some of those patterns that they end up running into.
Maisha, tell us approximately how old you were when you came to that realization. I am so glad you did it in this lifetime. People go lifetime after lifetime without allowing it and accepting it and being aware of it. And just, even if it goes against social norms or whatever, which it doesn't, because we're naturally more polyamorous than monogamous. But approximately how old were you when you became aware of this?
This month.
Isn't that something?
It's
really interesting, because I was going to say probably not so long ago, because oftentimes people in their 40s, 30s, and 40s and 50s then do have the courage and the know-how to manage and to be honest with themselves. And so it often does happen later in life, but God is blessed that it happens so that you can start making sense of some of your stuff. It's very interesting that the monogamy, which was on a bigger level, not quite right for you or not as good for you, was then creating a response, which was then codependency, anxiety, insecurities, whatever that was, which was your body trying to communicate with you, hey, and then you listened. That's brilliant. I want to give everyone hope out there that even if you're 50 and you're like, well, I've just lived this life like this forever. No, being honest with yourself, you can do it on your deathbed, and it's wonderful, and you're breaking karmas, being honest with yourself and coming into it. So it's so funny we're talking about this and how it's kind of coming to the table for you quite recently. The session I had before you, I was doing a reading and I was taking a glance in the future, and she was getting out of a marriage that didn't suit either of them and was realizing that she has more less monogamy and more poly kind of attributes and desires. And so she's like, I'm going to go into this and it's going to freak my family out, but it's me and it feels right. And that feels better than just being accepted for who I'm not. And I'm like, dang, that's a hashtag, you know, like that's deep. And it doesn't matter how old you are, but what they showed for her, and I just want to kind of throw this out there, I won't give any names of who my client was. She's a good friend of mine too, but in the future, I don't know how it all is going to play out. In fact, we're picking the pieces and putting them together as we speak, so to speak. That's how free will works. But what it looked like is in the next 30 years, there was an incredible movement away from monogamy. And it wasn't like a trendy, like, let's quick and try it, you know, and try over there and see what that's like. It looked like an actual organic movement of it just simply becomes more socially acceptable. I mean, the hippies have been trying to hit at it for, you know, 50 years, bringing it and normalizing it. And I think that we'll bring it through this lifetime, you know, in the next couple decades, normalize it, that it's monogamy isn't the only way, and nor is it, or should it be?
Yes. No, I completely agree. That, you know, that reminds me, when I was little, my father, he's quite the esoteric guy. And he would tell me, you know, about this, you know, we're living in the age of Aquarius. And I remember hearing the song because he liked to play that type of music, you know, and I remember thinking, oh, okay, wow. And I remember wondering, when's that going to be over? You know, in my linear human brain thinking, you know, and when I was older and I'm talking to my father about these things on and off, and it's probably in my 30s. And I was like, yeah, I mean, how does the age of Aquarius last? And he's like, this is not a 20 year thing. It's not like human. It's not in
the
human
state of
terms.
Mind.
Right. Yeah. You know, because I'm thinking, okay, well, shouldn't we be living like, you know, the hippies are telling us in like the late 60s, and why is it taking us so long? And one of the realizations that I've had to come to is that, gosh, we're babies. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even so much a realization as like just an understanding, like we're so, like, this whole third rock from the sun, especially this Western culture, is so filled with ego, but we're babies, and we don't even realize we are babies in this universe. We really are. And when I look at what we're going through in the world, and people ask me, well, how are you feeling about this? How are you feeling about that? I'm like, this is just part of the timeline of humanity. We're like little babies. We're just figuring it out. We don't even know. I said, come ask me that question again in 1,000 years, and it looks completely different. You know, but we have to go through all this turmoil. It's part of our growth process as a species, as a race.
Yes, and in my channelings, I channel plenty of aliens, or let's call it incarnates on other dimensions and planets. Brother and sister souls come from the same place. They just happen to be somewhere else. And I channel them, and they seem so evolved. And I sometimes, like, they're so advanced, and it's like the ego is so light. It's almost like I can see through them. Like the Pleiadians are almost like see-through to me. That's how I perceive them anyway. I'm sure people see them differently. But it was just really awesome to be like, thanks for helping us. Thanks for shining lights on this crazy goat rodeo we're in. And thank you for giving me an image of what level of heart energy we can get to, even if it takes thousands of years. That's okay. That if that's the growth process and that's what it takes, and we'll move inch by inch if that's, again, what it takes. But the idea is that is available to us. We just have to be able to stay on the planet. We can't extinct ourselves. And I think that's kind of what's coming to a head right now, is like how capitalism and the patriarchy have gotten too heavy-handed. And we have a limited amount of these things that we're burning through like crazy, and we have to be more sustainable. So I feel like we have an opportunity to get as advanced as the Pleiadians if we can just get past this hump of, well, destroying the planet, or more should I say, her getting pissed and flicking us off. It's happened before.
Yeah, I think I'm more concerned about the latter than the former. It's like, all right, you know what? I have had enough of this here. These, you know, folks running around all over me, just, you know, wrecking havoc, you know, to my soul and spirit. Thankfully, I think that we have people who are coming. I think more and more people are coming into awareness at a quicker rate than ever before. And yes, because of that, there is a chance for things to shift. And I believe that it will. Like, I don't, there are always the possibilities. And it's very much kind of like living in an Orson Welles story. But I do believe that we will, like, get past these things. No, it just hit me, like, maybe not. Okay, so I won't say that. I believe that there's a strong possibility that we can.
It's so funny. I'll tell you, my teacher is a trance channel. He's also a psychotherapist, and he goes into trance and astral projects and brings in a combination of entities, and they name themselves O'Brien, and he's been doing it since the 80s. Well, I've been talking to him for about 14 years. And I've talked about many, many things, but one of which is I was like chatting one day, and he asked me a question, which didn't always happen because I usually was the one asking questions. But he said, do you think you're going to be on the planet, alive on the planet, when heart supersedes ego, when there's more heart energy on the planet? Do you think you'll still be around, or do you think it'll happen in your lifetime? And I'm like, I don't know, O'Brien. That's a good question. It's pretty heavy. We have all this famine and war, terrible inequality. I don't know. I'm an optimist, but I'm also practical. And I said, I just don't know. He goes, you will. And now my teacher doesn't blow smoke up anyone's ass. He knows that we create our own trajectories and we gear ourselves, and there's a lot of variables and free will. So he rarely would be so adamant about and precise about the future. He's very much more usually open-ended. And I go, really? And he goes, yeah, we can't tell you exactly when it's going to happen, but it looks like you'll still be on the planet when that happens, when the scales are tipped. Now, will there still be work to do after that? Yes. Will there still movement need to be happening? Yes. But it's a downward walk as opposed to an upward walk. And we're definitely in the steep parts right now, because he asked me this, like, must have been like 6 or 7 years ago now. And I mulled on it. And the next time I talked to him, you know, several months later, I was like, hey, is that going to happen in like 15 to 20 years? He goes, you know, there's no such thing as time. But if we had to put a human number on it, we would suggest that that would be a good one, 15 to 20 years. Well, that was like 6, 7 years ago. So if the timing's right and we happen to land somewhere near that goal, looks to be about 13-ish years. So that would put us, well, pretty, you know, that's not tomorrow. That's work. That's a lot of movement. But look how quickly, like you mentioned, it's going. We can get a lot done. So with any hope, we'll be on the planet when it's a more heartful existence. And then we can kick the bucket and go back home.
I hope so. And it excites me to know that there are people like us who are here in some ways helping to clear that path, even though it seems like what we're doing on a day-to-day is like just working with people and having clients. But each time we meet with someone and each time we take on a new client and we are supporting their journey, they take that journey back to like five people, you know, and so in many ways we are all rippling out with our own little pebble, touching others. And so I love the fact that there's that possibility of the number 13. So funny, this is where we're at right now today, as you mentioned that in 2020. I love the fact that, you know, I'll still be young enough to say yay and enjoy it and run around naked outside, you know, with all the freedoms of it, before I decide to say, all right, this was a fun ride, I'm off.
I'm retired. And then we can give tribute to all the potential or all the people that were a part of this moving gear. So in, you know, 13 years, a lot of the hippies will have crossed simply because of age and just age-related complications and such. So when we do flip this pancake, so to speak, and we get to the other side of this mountain, I really want to hold a lot of space for the ones who didn't get to be physically on the planet. Now, I'm sure they're watching from the non-physical or experiencing from the non-physical or heaven, but I really want to play tribute that they had a rough ride. The hippies hit it hard in the 60s and 70s. They've been burning the candle for years and decades and decades, and they probably won't get to see what you and I are just being so grateful that we get to see, which is that flipping of the dynamic, the raising of the heart over the ego, which is the name of our podcast network here. It's Heart Over Ego Radio.
Aha!
And I am actually going to quickly run to our network commercial, and we will be back with more conversation.
Welcome to Heart Over Ego Radio, a collection of podcasts designed to enhance your spiritual journey. Join us on Mondays with the Alchemy Sisters and Creating Heaven on Earth, Tuesdays, Star Medicine Podcast and KT Talk Show, Wednesdays, Political Star Talk, Thursdays, The Optimistic Wellness Podcast, Fridays, Turn Yourself In, Self-Mastery for the Intuitive Sensitive Empath, and The Witching Hour, as well as Whore Magic, a show designed to heal stigma around sexuality. Saturdays, Seen and Heard, a podcast about abuse, and Shining the Light on Sex Trafficking. And Sundays, Gather Round for One for All is Love with Sonia Spirit. We are Heart Over Ego Radio. Find us on any podcast app, Facebook and Instagram. Search Heart Over Ego Radio.
And we're back, and like the man said, this is Heart Over Ego Radio, and we have a lot of shows shining lights on a lot of different topics. Simply go to any major podcast app and search. So we have a few minutes here, and I really wanted you to be able to tell people how they can get a hold of you and to cover any topic that you feel you might want to in the last few several minutes here.
Sure. So I can be found all over social media at Sensual Energy Alchemy and on my website at sensualenergyalchemy.com. I'm very active on Instagram just because there's a little less censorship there, and I was already banned from Facebook several times this summer. But I am also on Facebook. You can search for me under Debbie Maisha or my business page, Sensual Energy Alchemy. And as far as, you know, something to dig into, there's something about this whore magic, you know, this name that's bringing something up for me. And like I said, I'm still working through Mary Magdalene Revealed, and I just got the Gospel of Mary.
I love it.
You know, so yeah, I'm working all the angles of Mary there. And, you know, it's been interesting to me to, I didn't grow up in the church, but it's been interesting to me to uncover so much of the magic of what's underneath that and the connection to the power that we as women especially really have, and this historical understanding of why that power was so diminished or taken away or has to seem like it was this evil thing, and the fear, you know, around it. That's really just been ruminating through my mind over the past couple of weeks, I think, and along with the personal discovery for me, and I've gotten more used to saying this and caring less about people thinking I'm nuts, but I was doing an event in August, and during one of the meditations, it was clearly revealed to me that while my parents were my parents, they were not they did not birth me, and that the what created me was this primordial feminine energy, and that, you know, Lilith kind of raised me, and that I learned magic from Isis, and I learned from Mary Magdalene. So when you said that, it was kind of like, whoa, you know. I really desire for women to kind of dip into this quote unquote whore magic, you know, to understand the depth of this and to reconnect to the earth and to our witchy ways, and to know that is who we are, and that's okay.
Yes, and I really wanted to. Mary Magdalene doesn't need protecting or clearing, but I wanted to clear just the word whore, because I don't, it has a negative note to it, which let's just flip it and give it a positive note and use the energy, because yeah. Like you beautifully said, where did that come in when women were told to shame their sexuality? When did that switch happen? I'm sure it's thousands of years ago, but there was a time when women were I hate to use worshipped, but that might be a proper word because, like one of my friends says, the sex is my discipline and my orgasm is my offering. Ooh. Yeah, that's Allie Montgomery. We're going to have her on Horror Magic in a couple of weeks, and she's the one that I'd like, that I see in my mind's eye sitting with me, you, and Leela. It'd be three black girl magic, one white girl magic. And it was like just this four of us kind of conversating because she talks like that and she talks like you and she has her own way. And I saw her at this convention, this website convention, and I reached out to her and we connected really well. But any which way, I really like that pondering that you brought to the table, which was, why would let's call it men, or let's call it the authority, let's call it men in general, patriarchy, why would they want to take away our power from orgasm and through sexuality? Is because I'm pretty sure it made us very powerful, and they felt inferior, and often inferiority will slew and throw a lot of ego, which will then be shame and hate and whatever else. So I'm pretty sure that they were just trying to cut us down at the knees, and that worked for a minute, but with this momentum and Mary Magdalene coming to the table so as often as she does, helping many groups across the country, I think we're here taking that back. I think we're taking back the word whore, taking back our energy, taking back our power, because it's so potent. If you can harness it and be aware of it and move shame and guilt, an orgasm can help you manifest all of your wildest dreams. You want business? Put while you're having an orgasm, scream out what you want into the universe. See it in your mind's eye. Even have set the intention before you go into either self-pleasure or sexual contact with your loved one or partner. And it just put the intention around it and harness it, because it is one of the most powerful energies, and it's free, you know, so it might as well. And why, do you have anything to say about that? Do you feel also that there was a time when women's energy were so strong and they just kind of try to cut us off at the knees and throw shame our way?
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, it was, I mean, it still is so strong. It's, mm-hmm. You know, I think, and I can't get the words out fast enough for what's coming into me and translating it. But I think that part of the reason why women are feeling the way they are is because there's something innate. It's like a dragon waking up inside of the collective of women. And there's this part of us as a collective, right, that's like, I don't quite understand what this shifting is, what is going on, you know. And there's some who are afraid of it, you know. When you spend too much time living in the density of being human, you forget and you're afraid. And there's some of us who are like, let's go, let's take off. And so there's like this thing that's happening between women, you know, especially in Western culture, not so much in like the indigenous cultures, because they still got it. But mm-hmm. for those of us who live in our modern societies, I think there's still that shifting that needs to happen, because we are, I fully believe this. And I think I said it on the other show when women wake up and join forces, this whole planet is going to shift so fast, mm-hmm. so incredibly fast, when we understand the power that we wield. And because, you know, we've been kind of using it, you know, just in like the most superficial vain ways, like literally to get a meal or to get some guy to take us to a movie. Like, we've been using it in such the trite mm-hmm. ways, but to really harness that sexual energy and to put it directed toward, like, I would love to host, maybe I will, I would love to host this like 100 woman orgasmic sex magic session of just women putting, like, all of us focusing on this intention and just putting that energy out there. You know, it's like when people get together to meditate on an intention, I say, yeah, because that is a meditation. Let's do it and see, and so they can see how it shifts and how quickly it happens.
Where are you physically? You don't have to talk about the city, but where are you in the state?
I'm in New York.
New York. It's so funny. I had organized an event for Samhain, Halloween, and it had to be canceled due to Corona. So the lady pushed my reservation out until spring. Now that may also get pushed to summer, depending on, again, what COVID does. I'm loose with it, but I do have this place already bought and paid for that I was going to have. It was going to be called the Witch and Weekend, and we were going to do meditations and ceremonies. I was going to teach classes and do some psychic classes, but that had to be put on the back burner because, again, COVID. So if you would like to have an event, I would like to have an event, and I was switching the dynamics from Witch and Weekend to Horror Magic or Sex Magic Weekend, and I think we can have, like, you know, several, a dozen people there because it's an event place. It's got yurts. It's got a large facility we can have like events in, and it has a lodge so we can stay, and then of course camping too, and it's North Georgia, so it's real pretty. It's called Chickamauga, Georgia, and the place is quaint and quiet, and the lady who runs it's very hip and does yoga and all kinds of cool stuff. So it's got goats there, so maybe we can pet a goat, but any which way, so you may have manifested more quickly than you thought would an event of some sort. So get with me after, of course, the show, and we'll talk more about it, but we could land something and have some events and do some classes and some lectures and maybe even learn some techniques for your body and health and what have you. So that would be awesome.
I would love that. That would be amazing. Yeah, sex magic. Still my jam.
It's so powerful. And like you said, there's a need for it. And I think that's why Mary Magdalene's energy comes in so strong, especially with a lot of other groups on the planet right now, is because this is a wonderful time to bring in that energy. And it's been bubbling, you know, we're at a rolling boil and here we go. And it's exciting. It's an exciting place to be.
Yes, it is. Oh, this just energized me in so many ways.
Wonderful. And we're going to head out. It always goes too quickly. But I'll be back in a couple of weeks with Allie Montgomery. She's out in Oakland, California, and she is going to come in and talk some goddesses that sit in the Egyptian realms, some that she has a lot of studies and understandings. So it'll be wonderful. And so check us out, and you can go to any major podcast app or Google Heart Over Ego Radio, and you can hear all of our other shows, which touch on a lot of topics, like you heard the man say in the commercial. We appreciate you. This is Horror Magic at Heart Over Ego Radio. And until next time, have a wonderful weekend.